I want to take a few moments this morning to reflect on some thoughts from the Psalm in Colossians. Just before we do, Ron will be praying this morning for us, leading us in prayer, but I probably wouldn't get to you. I just got word that Eva fell this morning and is on her way to hospital. So let's take a moment and pray for Eva, and then we'll continue this morning with around the word. Father, we do ask your blessing on Eva. We pray that you would oversee and bless her today. Lord, we ask that your grace, your healing hand would already be active and present. Lord, as you come around your word, Lord, we ask that your blessing would rest upon us, open our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Something I like to try to keep before myself, what I don't do well every day, is the truth, the wonderful truth and realization that it is God's breath in my lungs. Even when I was sick and in hospital and laboring to breathe, every breath was still God's breath in my lungs. Feeling much better now. Maybe a marathon later in the summer. We'll see how things go. But thankful for the breath that we have. That I have. There's a lady who started to attend the church I pastored before here. First name was Tracy, and she was quite ill when she started to attend an evening service that we held, and subsequently a number of months later had passed on due to her illness. And the song that we sang was one that she wanted sung at her funeral. And I forgot all about that till we were singing it this morning. It's your breath in my lungs. It is. God has given us this day. God has given us this moment. God has given us this life. In Colossians chapter 3 that was read for us, we have a fascinating question, a probing question and answer given to us by the Apostle Paul, a question followed by an extensive call. The question, or perhaps more of a statement, if you have been raised with Christ, and Paul is writing to the church, in church you have been raised with Christ. Amen, Pastor, yes. You have been raised with Christ. You have new life. I appreciate you, Bryden. Thank you. You have new life inside of you. You know God in and through Christ. I've shared this before, but my favorite definition of eternal life is the one given by Jesus, in which he says, this is eternal life, that you know God in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Through Christ, we got something started. That's great. Through Christ, we know God. We have eternal life. We're aware that it's his breath in our lungs. We're aware that every moment of every day is a gift from him. We're aware that we were made by him and for him. And that ought to change how we approach every day. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. I want to say we too often, but I'll keep it to me and let the Spirit convict you as needed. I too often have my attention focused on the things here and now, but not with reference or understanding that I have been raised with Christ, but rather out of concern and care for myself. Concern for my wants and my needs. We are concerned, I am concerned, with what I shall wear, what I shall eat, what kind of car shall I drive, what kind of home shall I have, what kind of position shall I hold, what sort of guests shall I entertain, what friends shall I attain. Is life not more than these things in and of themselves, meaning these things are not an end in and of themselves. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It is those who do not know Christ, those who do not know that they have been raised in newness of life in Christ, who strive after these material things in this world and worry about image in the eyes of others in this world created by God. But us, you and I, as believers in Christ, know that we have been made in the image of God, that we have been raised to newness of life in Christ to know God and to know Jesus whom he has sent for his glory, for his honor. And so we strive first to seek the kingdom of God. That's not my experience every day, but that's the calling. That's the hope of God in your life and in my life. To set our minds on the things that are above, on the things of Christ. For we have indeed died to the ways of this world, and our lives are to be hid with Christ in God. Probably familiar verses to you, but the Apostle Paul here in Colossians is alluding to it, but also in his letter to the church at Philippi and his letter to the church at Ephesus, he notes this similar strain. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Ephesus, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And in his letter to the church here at Colossae, he unpacks what this means. Get rid of anger. I come across as a pretty friendly guy, I think. If you don't think so, feel free to confront me, and you'll see how angry I can get. But I think I come across pretty friendly. That doesn't mean there isn't anger residing inside of me. The heart is what Christ looks at. We know in his Sermon on the Mount, the matters of the heart matter. So in unpacking what it is to have been raised with Christ, Paul notes, get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive or foul language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self. There's an assumption here. You have been raised with Christ, and you have taken off the old. Well, I've been raised with Christ, but do I have to do this part? The two fit together. The two are connected. It's the work of the Spirit in our lives as we submit to his rule. To strip off the old self and its practices, and clothe yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the Creator. Psalm 8 picks up this beautiful picture, somewhat indirectly, but it's there profoundly at the same time of being created in the image of God. It alludes back to the creation account in Genesis. Genesis 1 and 2, we have God the Father, God Almighty, and in the Gospels we learn that Jesus was active as well in this creating work, and the Spirit was there. The triune God creating all things, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, the seas, the animals, and humanity, created in the image of God for his glory and for his purpose to reflect the wonder of God in this world. I often note, and I may have noted here before as well, when I think of these opening chapters of Genesis, and Genesis 2 in particular, when God breathed into the nostrils of man, of humanity, the breath of life, the breath of God, and man, humanity, became living beings with the breath of God after he had formed them out of the dust of the earth. We are created by dirt. by dust, and to dust we shall return, the scripture tells us. But while we're living here and before we breathe our last breath, the breath within us is the breath of God. Our life is the life given to us by God, and we're given desire. God places within the Garden of Eden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and tells Adam and Eve not to eat of it. What will we choose to do with the breath of God inside of our being? Will we serve Him? Will we recognize His majesty and His wonder? Will we serve Him? In Psalm 8, we have the only psalm in the collection that is addressed entirely to God. A psalm addressed to the God in whose image we are made, and the God who made all else which we see. A created order which speaks to the wonder of God. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Romans 1. We find these words. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made. I want to encourage you with a sentiment here. I love being outdoors. The rain is lovely, but a nice warm day, 35 is a little too warm. You're going to start to hear my critical side when I talk about the weather. I love being outside when the day is right and enjoy the nature and can recognize the wonder and the beauty of God in the midst of that, and the order which He has put into creation is phenomenal. And our lives ought to be doing the same. As with the rest of the created order, ought to be pointing towards the wonder and the majesty of God. Our lives ought to be declaring the goodness of God. Our lives and the breath in our lungs that God has given us ought to be a testament to the goodness and the wonder of the God who has made us. At the center of this psalm is the affirmation of human power and authority. We find in the psalm, in verse 5, "You have made them," humanity, the mere mortals, "you have made them a little lower than God," or a little lower than the angels, "and crowned them with glory and honor." That's the wonder. "And all things have been given for us to have dominion and rule over." But this is bracketed by two boundaries, in verse 1 and in verse 9. "O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is Your name in all the earth." Verse 1. Verse 9. "O Lord, our Sovereign, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth." The dominion which has been given to us, the honor and the glory which has been given to us as that part of creation which has been created in the image of God, is bound to the fact that we have been created in the image of God and are to display His wonder and His majesty as we rule over that which He has created. Brueggemann, "Human power is always bound and surrounded by divine praise. Doxology gives dominion its context and its legitimacy." If we are going to dominate well, we are going to dominate under the authority and the wonder of God who has created us. But truly the way to live our lives to this regard is to take up within ourselves the solicitude of God. Solicitude is a new word to me. Does anyone know what solicitude means? I just found out a couple of months ago, so don't feel bad if you don't. It means to have care or concern for something other than yourself. And I thought, that's the word that sums up God beautifully. Paul, in his letter to Colossians, calls us to clothe ourselves, and one of the words that comes out is with compassion. Solicitude is compassion and care for others. We're called to put on love, which is a love for others. If we're going to rule well, if we're going to live well with the breath of God in our lungs, we need to take on this care and concern which God has, to clothe ourselves as the holy and beloved with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, to above all, clothe ourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's the dominion we are called to have and to practice. God has shown us this care and concern. Human beings are frail and insignificant when placed in the context of the expansive universe. And this is what the psalmist is doing. Look at this universe. Look at the heavens. Look at the stars. Look at the magnitude, the immense capacity or space of this universe. What are mere mortals that you think of them? That you are mindful of them, that you remember them, that you bring them to mind. God cares for you. He's mindful of you. He thinks about you, in the words of the psalmist in 139, he thinks of you every moment of every day. God is mindful of us. Another verb which is used in verse 4 makes the point even more. The traditional translation is, you visit them. But the modern translations use care for. He's mindful of us, and he visits us, or he cares for us. He tends to our need. He hears our prayer. Jesus intercedes for us. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit fills us. God is with us. He visits us. This is the care of God for us. This is the solicitude of God for us. We have been created in His image. We have been created with glory and honor to have dominion and power in this world. God's grace has crowned us with this, being created in His image. The purpose is for us to have dominion with compassion, with love, with care, getting rid of, as one's raised in Christ, all malice, anger, greed, self-absorption, and to live our lives to His praise and His glory, caring and concerned for one another. We are to live with solicitude. We are to live with love. Let us be encouraged to do so by His grace, by the power of His Spirit within us. And if we choose to be silent, the very stones will still cry out. But might we add our voice? Might we add our life? Might we use the breath in our lungs, in your lungs, in my lungs, to praise the Lord, the Sovereign, who reigns. Father, lead us into this more fully and completely, we ask. Lord, to your praise and to your glory. Might we rule well as the beloved with your love. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.